Every Christian is being led by the Spirit of God. You are being led by the Spirit of God if you are a Christian. That word led, then, from the point of view of accurate exegesis and exposition, is a word which is used exactly in the same way in the Old Testament of Israel. In Psalm chapter 18, verse 1, God is spoken of as the shepherd of Israel that leads Israel. And the word led, rather vague again in English, is what is in the original a present tense, which is continuous in its significance. As many as are constantly being led by God, these are the children of God. That is general guidance. Constantly being led by the Spirit of God. We are being led on all the time. We are not sort of standing there and occasionally needing some guidance. We are being led all the time in the direction of eternal life. Every Christian is being led. If you are not led, you are not even a child of God. So in that sense, you don't need any special leading. You are being led all the time. Just as the children of Israel were led out of Egypt and constantly being led by God unto the promised land. All those who were led by him were the people of God. They were the people of Israel. Those who were not led by him were still back in Egypt. They were not even saved. And so in this sense, the word led, Psalm 18:1, we have Deuteronomy 8:2 and 15, Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, and so forth. Many such references, how the people of Israel are the people who are led. They are a people who are led by God, and in the same way, Paul is drawing the analogy that we are being led by God all the time. Is that not part of your experience? It should be part of your experience. If you are in living relationship with God, you are being led all the time. Being led by God should not be a new experience to you. It's part of what Watchman Nee would have called a normal Christian life, not something unusual. And because there is so much uncertain teaching, so many Christians have been crippled by this doctrine or the lack of doctrine of guidance. Now first then understand the general principle that if you are a true Christian, you are being led by God all the time. Not necessarily consciously so, but always definitely so. That is, the people of Israel were being led on, even though they may not always be conscious of the pillar of cloud in front or the pillar of fire by night. When they were eating, when they were sleeping, they were not conscious of what was going on there. But he that watches Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. What is he doing then? He is leading them on, watching over them. All the time he is at work. And so God is leading. He is watching over your life all the time. You are as the apple of his eye if you belong to him. But there is also specific guidance. And how shall we picture this? You see, specific guidance comes to nobody who is not being led by the Lord in the general sense already. And what kind of people are being led by the Lord? The people who already are having the spiritual ambition. Remember, spiritual ambition is also part of the normal Christian life. It is nothing exceptional. It is part of the renewal of the mind when you become anew in your thinking, your new outlook upon the world. Can you understand that? Has God changed you yet? If not, brothers and sisters, it's time to say, Lord, change me. Transform me by the renewing of my mind. We want a complete 思想改造, a complete thought reform. That's what Paul has talked about. The communists never invented that notion. Paul was 2,000 years ahead of them. The whole thinking must be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that our whole thinking becomes accurate. A thinking that has turned its back upon the world and turned its direction towards Christ. That's what repentance means. So elementary. Turning away from sin and from the world to Christ. I thought every Christian knows that. But there is specific guidance. And the way to illustrate it is like this. Perhaps since we are talking about spiritual warfare, we can use the military illustration. Take, for example, a whole line of tanks going forward into battle. You see these powerful machines rolling forward. And on top of these powerful machines, there is one very thin thing sticking up over the top. That is the antenna. Why does it have an antenna? Why doesn't it just go charging in under the battle and shoot up the enemy? What's the antenna for? That's for specific commands. You see, the tanks had general command. Move forward into battle. They move forward in formation. There is a proper tank formation going into battle. But suddenly, as you are sitting in one of these tanks, the earphones crackle and a voice comes through. Say, turn the tank to the right. An enemy tank has come through between the lines. Turn your guns in that direction. So this tank, immediately tank number so-and-so, gets specific command. It turns it around and the big guns point into the direction of the enemy. You see, the head command behind has got radar control. It sees what's coming through. Those in the tanks only see what's in front of them. They didn't see. And then he gets the orders, turn in there. But first of all, notice, the general command, it is already moving forward. The whole line, the whole formation is moving forward. And secondly, notice, it is in radio contact with supreme command. Many people say, I want to know God's guidance. First, you are not even moving forward on the general orders. How can you look for specific orders? I mean, this tank that is sitting there that hasn't even moved forward is saying, give me some specific orders, please. I've been sitting here a long time. He hasn't even heard the order, move forward, all forward. He's sitting there, the whole line has moved forward, and he's still sitting there looking for orders. How can you use this kind of a person? Maybe it's because his radio communications are gone. He didn't hear the orders as it came through. Now, many Christians say, how do I get guidance? Well, a perfectly simple answer to the question. Open up your radio communications. And the tank commander sitting there says, funny, no orders have been coming through for a long time. How do I get orders from head command? So it's simple. Switch on your radio if you got one. Switch it on. That's how the orders are going to come through. So many people say to me, I have been looking for specific guidance. First then, understand the principle. Always fulfill all the commands already given to you. If you haven't done the things which have been already told you to do, what's the use of looking for specific orders? For example, specific order that we have looked at, the command to love one another totally. If you are not loving one another, you have already failed on one specific order. You have not moved forward in the formation. The result is some have fallen out, some are in disarray. How can you get specific orders? But those who are moving forward in the formation, they are going to get specific orders. It never fails. Of course, specific orders in many ways are much more exciting than general orders, isn't it? It's nice to hear the crackle over the radio coming. It's a break from hearing the endless pounding of the artillery of your big guns banging away. Certainly it's nice to hear a few human voice saying something to you. And how nice in the Christian life when the battle is tough to hear the voice coming over. The Lord's voice speaking to you. But it is pitiful in these days how few Christians ever hear God communing with them at all. Isn't that pitiful? Now, God does not keep crackling over the radio every 5 minutes, say, have you got enough coke supply there? Are you too hot in the tank right now? How are you feeling down there? That's what human beings might be doing. Don't expect that kind of thing from God. He's got no time to mess around with this kind of statements. That's for the people inside the tank crew to communicate with each other, so encouraging one another. That's what it's for. God gives specific commands only when those specific commands are needed. It's not a chattering station there, just talking over rather insignificant stuff. And I have found always that when I am moving forward in part of this battle array, that time and again I hear the crackle of the communications coming through. I hear the Lord speaking. And you say, wow, that's exciting. Sure, it's exciting. But you best be first on your general orders. Nowhere else to look until you fulfill your general orders. Nothing will come through in specific command. Take, for example, some illustrations in the Bible of specific orders. We see, for example, Philip in the well-known case in Acts. There he is preaching the gospel earnestly and vigorously. And then as he is preaching the gospel in Samaria, he has the voice coming through on his spiritual earphones. Philip, go down to the wilderness because there's a job for you to do. What does Philip do? He turns around and he goes off to the wilderness and he meets the eunuch there. That is specific commands coming through. But you see, first of all, he was fully engaged in the general command of preaching the gospel to every creature. He was fully engaged in the love and the self-giving that is involved in the ministry of God's word. Only then does he get specific commands. So do understand this. There is no use looking for specific commands when you are not even engaged in the general commands. You're not fulfilling his orders. You want specific guidance. That's presumably what you mean by guidance. Then be on the job. Move forward if you are part of the tank crew. If you are part of the Air Force, then go forward under orders. Don't stand there waiting on the airfield for specific orders when you should be up there and you're not flying. And many times, in the Lord's grace, you'll find in the Bible that specific commands come through. If anyone has read Acts, you will see how often Paul's spiritual earphones are working and the Lord speaks to him. Every time, you'll find it happening again. The Lord is saying a word, I'm going to send you on to Rome. So Paul knows he's going to Rome. That is why he appealed to Caesar, as so many people don't understand. Why should he have appealed to Caesar? If he had not appealed, he would have been all right. He appealed to Caesar because he knew the Lord wanted him in Rome. He already knew how the next step was to be taken. But this is something that you must advance to in the spiritual life if you want to understand spiritual and specific commands. Now, before you get any specific commands, in fulfilling the general commands, you need no specific guidance at all. The Bible does not provide words about guidance. Now, you know, it's a remarkable thing. The word guidance does not even appear in the Bible. Did you know that? Surprise, isn't it? The word guidance, if you look under the concordance, does not appear one single time in the Bible. That should make you stop and think. If anybody had to prepare a talk on guidance, he would have discovered that. Much to his consternation, he will have found he had nothing to talk about, simply because the word guidance doesn't appear. And what is also remarkable is in the one time that it does, the word lead appears, it refers in John to the work of the Holy Spirit. He shall lead you into all truth. And here it is not guidance in the sense that you are talking about, whether you should go somewhere or not go somewhere. That word doesn't appear. It lead you into all truth. And the only other place that the word guide appears in the New Testament, it appears in connection with whom, do you know? With the Pharisees. You blind guides. That's what it says there. And here we see from the word guide that it refers to spiritual teaching, that they should have been teaching spiritual truth, but instead, what were they doing? They were leading the people astray. Blind guides. So we find that the word guide and guidance. Now, the word guidance, I just said, doesn't occur, sorry. The word guide appears, relates to spiritual teaching. Which means that the only reference to guidance in the whole New Testament is that verse that I just quoted in Romans chapter 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, these are the children of God. Does it surprise you? Did it surprise you that? Why is that so? Why is there no particular reference to this in the New Testament? For one simple reason. That no Christian needs to be taught about guidance who is already in the general guidance of the Lord, being led on from day to day by the Lord. But the Bible does mention specific guidance, not by in terms of teaching, but by terms of example, as in the case of Acts concerning Paul and concerning Philip. Now, in my own experience, I have also experienced this kind of guidance, as I have mentioned. And I have shared perhaps with some of you before, whether in Montreal or elsewhere. For example, when I was in China, there was an occasion on which I had no food to eat. So I was feeling very hungry. I didn't know what to do. And I just prayed to the Lord, said, Lord, I am so hungry. I have nothing to eat. And I'm your child. And please provide me with something to eat. Even as it is said in your word, you look after the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, and now your child has nothing to eat. And so, provide, I beg of you, the needs of your child. The Lord said to me, get up and go to this place. So I did. I went there. And this lady, whom I had not seen for a long time, had a little conversation with me. And I wondered to myself, why did the Lord send me here? Well, what's this for? So after a time, I said to her, well, it's time for me to go now. So I made for the door, still puzzling why the Lord ever sent me to this place. There was no particularly close friend of ours. I didn't know why I should see this lady. And just as I said goodbye, she suddenly produced an envelope. She said, "Eric, you know, I have saved this envelope for you." Oh, I said, "What's this for?" She said, "Well, I don't know why, but I just felt that you should have this envelope. So please do me the kindness of accepting." So I accepted it very gratefully. And I walked away saying, "Lord, how perfect are your ways. How perfect are your ways." Specific guidance. How would I know to go to this place I never had thought of going to before? In fact, it was the first and the last time I went. But on this occasion, the order came through. Go to this place. Another occasion when I was in China, and I did not know what the future was to hold. I didn't know whether I was to come out of China, to stay in China, but how could I get out of China? And I knelt down before the Lord and I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to stay in this country or to leave? If you want me to stay, I will certainly stay here. But show me what work you want me to do." I did not ask to leave. I just asked for his will, his purpose. Now you see, in this kind of circumstances, you cannot have general guidance. You must have specific guidance. How would I know that he was going to supply my need through that particular person unless he sent me there? How would I know what he wanted me to do next unless he instructed me specifically? But first, you must be carrying out his orders in the general sense. And as I knelt there before the Lord, my spiritual earphones crackled again. And the Lord's voice came over, clear and loud. And he said to me, "Eric, I'm taking you out of this country." Wow, I tell you, I nearly jumped straight up. Right up from my cement floor that I was kneeling on. The cement floor that I knelt on so often, beautiful cement floor. And I nearly went straight up, said, "Lord, how wonderful. Because I'm going to take you out." Immediately I packed my bags. Straight away. And I remember the surprise of my Christian friends in church. They said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm leaving the country." They said, "What? You got the exit visa?" I said, "No, I haven't even applied yet." Because I was applying the next day. I was rushing there as soon as the office opened. I'm going to apply right away. But they say, "You applied twice already. It's been refused." Said, "Never mind. This time the Lord said he's taking me out." And so he did, as the evidence you can see before your eyes. Oh, it's wonderful when he gives us the specific guidance, when he speaks to us in this way. I used to wonder how the Old Testament prophets could say, "Thus says the Lord." I said, "How do you know he said it?" Did it ever cross your mind? Somebody asked me once, "How do they know that this says the Lord?" And when you have heard your earphones, your spiritual earphones crackling and the voice of the Lord coming through, you know exactly how they heard it. And some people even went along saying, "I wonder if these prophets just imagined the whole thing. The Lord said unto me." How did they know it? Well, if they had imagined it, they'd all be wrong, isn't it? How marvelously they predicted everything. They predicted the coming of the Lord Jesus. They predicted down to how he would die. Everything was predicted. You try working your imagination, see if you can predict what happens tomorrow. I'll just ask you, can you tell me what the weather will be tomorrow afternoon? And try use your imagination and see. Or what political developments will take place tomorrow? And the prophets could prophesy what will happen in 1,000 years. Oh, imagination indeed. No, when the voice of the Lord, when you have experienced it, when he speaks to you, you know it. God speaking to you. His voice comes clear. And so it goes on. I can give you illustrations. There's another time I was about to leave Switzerland, booked my plane, and the Lord said, "You're not leaving tonight. You're going to stay." I wanted to go, but the Lord wanted me to stay. I soon knew why. There was somebody to win to the Lord. There was somebody in need. And for that person, I had to stay another day. That person came to the Lord the next day. Or on another occasion, I was in the north of London. And in my student hostel, I was going to sit down to do some work. And my earphones, spiritual earphones, work again. The voice came across. And the Lord said to me, "Go down to the center of the city. For there I have a job for you to do." And so I pondered. 9:30 in the evening. It'd take me 3/4 of an hour to get to the center of the city. What will I do at 10:15 in the city? And I knew when the Lord says it, you do it. You don't ask too many questions. So I got on my motorcycle and off I went to the center of the city. All the time puzzling in my mind, what was I supposed to do? Oh, it's wonderful. And the Lord said, I want you at Central YMCA. See how specific is the command? Right down to the last detail. Central YMCA. So there I was at Central YMCA, standing in the Central YMCA looking around. And looking up at the ceiling, looking around, the Lord, here I am. What's next? What's happening? And I had to wait quite a while. I suppose the Lord knew that sometimes I don't get there too quickly and not in time. Made allowance for that. So there I was, long ahead of time, standing there wondering, well, here I am, Lord. And I kept passing back over my spiritual communication, my spiritual radio. I said, Lord, here I am, reminding him that I had arrived. And as I stood there and looking at various people walking around, and suddenly I was looking towards the door and somebody was walking through, and suddenly the voice of the Lord said, there is the man. I said, yes, Lord, what I'm doing with him? I mean, I've seen lots of people walking through doors. It's not the first time I've seen somebody coming through the door. He said, that's the man. Talk to him now. So I went to him and saying, Lord, what am I supposed to say to him? Still more specific instructions. And the first thing I managed to say to him when I went up to him, I'd never seen this man in my life before. And I said, the only thing I could think of saying at the time is, can I help you in any way? And he said, oh, yes. Yes, you could. And so the conversation began. The outcome of it was he came to the Lord the following day. He was some professor who had come over from Taiwan. And he was in a conference in Geneva, the United Nations. Rather reminding me of the Philippine eunuch, you know. And he was in London for just those 2 days. How would I ever know he would be in London for 2 days if my spiritual communications were not up? You see, the supreme command knows everything going on there. This man was going to be in London for 2 days. And so I was sent to the job right there and then, no time to waste. He came to the Lord the next day and went back to Switzerland. And he said to me afterwards, he says, you know, it is amazing. It is truly amazing, he says, that now I have found what I've been looking for all my life. Without realizing it, that in fact I have been found. While all the time I thought I was looking, I was searching. When in fact it was God searching for me. His hand was on me all this time. And now I have found him. He has found me. Oh, it's so marvelous. Specific command. When I first came out of China, I was in Hong Kong, wondering what the next order would be, waiting in Hong Kong. I had no money to go anywhere. And somebody else got a specific command. This time somebody in Portland, Oregon, in the United States. This dear sister, although she was in her 60s, this dear sister who loved the Lord very much was one day praying, and her earphones began to work. The order came through, go to Hong Kong. Oh, when the whole church, brothers and sisters, when the whole church functions as it ought to function, how marvelous, how beautiful is everything working out. She said, she arrived in Hong Kong and she didn't know what exactly the Lord wanted her to do. Why? By this time I've kept saying, you didn't know. Because why? Because God leads always on the principle one step at a time. You take one step first and then you will see the next step. He's not going to show you everything first. That's why it must be by faith. You take the first step, then he'll give you the second step. You don't take the first step, you get no second step. But thanks be to God for this sister who also learned to commune with God. Guidance is simply a matter of communing with God when you are walking with him. So this dear sister who happened to be a rather wealthy person at that time, she got the order, go to Hong Kong. So she arrived in Hong Kong. She thought she had put in everything she had at the Lord's disposal, waiting for the Lord to use it in any way he chose. If the Lord says, I want 10,000 there, 10,000 goes there. I want 20,000 there, 20,000 goes. Everything was at the Lord's disposal. She had learned to commit herself totally to God. And so, when she heard the order, she arrived in Hong Kong, and she was wondering, what's the next step? Until one day, I was in my room, having a quiet time before the Lord, and there was a knock on the door. I opened the door, and she was standing in front of the door. And she said to me, Eric, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that? She said, I would like you to go and buy a ticket for Europe. You see, I knew that the Lord wanted me to go on to Europe. The only question is I didn't know how. I tried to earn my way there. I tried to work my way on ships. Everything would do to get there in whatever way that God wanted me to be there. But God amazingly closed every door. And I puzzled why this should be so. Later on, I realized why. God is so kind. He is so wonderful. You see, when I had come out of China, those long years had taken quite a toll on my physical health. I wasn't sick, but I had become quite weak. I had very poor nourishment. I had been undernourished. I had become very thin. And in spite of my tough constitution, I wasn't sick, but very weak. And God, in His loving kindness, wanted me just to have a rest. Do you know, God cares for us so much that He just wants us to have a rest. I think of those touching words of the Lord Jesus when He said to His disciples, come aside for a while and have a rest. You have worked hard enough now. He is one who remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. How beautiful. Come and have a rest. You are tired. He is so intensely practical. It's so wonderful. I am always touched when I read how the Lord Jesus raised the girl, Jairus' daughter, that girl from the dead. And when everybody was jumping up and down and shouting how amazing she's risen from the dead, you know what Jesus said? Give her something to eat. Huh. Nobody ever remembered that the poor girl was hungry. They were so filled with joy and excitement. Oh, the Lord Jesus is just so wonderful. Give her something to eat. In your joy, don't forget her physical need. She needs some food. Oh, He is so wonderful. I tried to find a job. I was willing to work, and the Lord said, no. No job. You're going to stay there. I'm going to get you to Europe. He put me on a ship, and the ship got stuck in a strike in Burma, with the result that instead of taking 1 month to get to Europe, I had 2 months to get to Europe. 2 months of rest on the ship. I never had such a restful time in all my life. 2 whole months with an entire cabin to myself. You imagine that? And I paid less on this freighter than people paid on the ordinary P&O ships from Hong Kong to England. God is so gracious and so kind. And this lady was there, and she asked me to buy this ticket. And I said to her, well, madam, I said, look, you better pray more about this. And so a few days later, she asked me and said, well, have you bought your ticket now? I said, no, I haven't. I said, I would like you to be absolutely sure before God. She said, look, I am absolutely sure. Now go and get that ticket. And so I did. You know, God is so perfect in His ways. That's specific guidance. There was this dear sister who had specific communion with the Lord. And when I left, when I got on the ship and left, she flew back to Portland, Oregon the next day. She said, my job is done. Now I know why God wanted me to come to Hong Kong. My job is finished. But where are God's people who are in communion with Him that He has to send somebody all the way from the United States to Hong Kong? Where were the people in Hong Kong who could have done the job? Nowhere. Nobody was on the earphones. You know, I think many times of it like this, that God is trying to speak to us. And here we are saying, Lord, where is my specific guidance? He is trying to speak to us all the time, except we are not listening. Of all people in Southeast Asia, He had to send somebody all the way from the United States. Where are the others? Or could it be that just because He wanted to do something to teach this lady something, that could also be. Maybe it's not because there were others who didn't hear. Maybe it was because God in His wisdom wanted this lady to have this particular job. That could also be the case. So perhaps we shouldn't be too hard on other Christians. And so here we see the importance of what we have looked at tonight. There is general guidance. There is specific guidance. But specific guidance are for those only who are on duty for the Lord. Let us take to heart these words and remember this. It is up to you whether you are going to strive forward in spiritual ambition. It is up to you then whether when you are striving forward and if you are striving forward, then you will experience as you are being led forward by the Spirit, as you are moving forward, that you will find the Lord giving you specific commands. Oh, the Christian life is so exciting. It is so marvelous. I don't know why people are content with the mediocre, dull business that goes under the name of Christian life these days. The wonderful communion with God, the fellowship with Him that comes to having spiritual ambition, these are the people who get His guidance. Let us pray.